grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Take away the hindrance of our sins and make us ready for the celebration of your birth, that we may receive you in joy and serve you always. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. As a special gift this morning, Katie Leffes is going to give us her gift of music as we prepare to hear the reading.
A reading from the second book of Samuel, the 7th chapter. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in the house of cedar, but the ark of the God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go do all you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will anoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly from the time that I appointed the judges over my people of Israel, and I will give you rest from your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." The word of the Lord. Let us pray responsively the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant.
Surely from now on generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation.
He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts.
He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly.
He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy.
According to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, 16th chapter. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for the long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Now, I read something on the internet, a story about San Diego this last week, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it was told as if it were true, and maybe you know about this. A number of years ago, the FBI came and did a survey, an evaluation, an audit of a psychiatric hospital here in San Diego. Anyone hear about that? It happened a number of years ago. And during this survey or audit, the FBI workers who were doing it, the day went on long, and so they decided, the chief decided that he would buy pizza for all of the guys and women who were working for him that day. So he called up the Pizza Hut, and he said, "I'm detective or FBI agent, you know, John Smith, and I want to order pizza for the people who are working here. There's 75 of us, and so I think I need about 100 pizzas and 50 gallons of Coke." And the Pizza Hut guy says, "Wow, okay, this is good. Where can I deliver it?" And he said, "Bring it to the psychiatric hospital. But you have to come around the back because the doors are all locked." And he said, "Yeah, okay. Who did you say you are?" And he said, "I'm an FBI agent." And he said, "And who's the pizza for?" "Well, we're all FBI agents. And we want you to bring the pizza." And he says, "Okay, and where do I go?" "Make sure you come to the back because all the doors are locked. And we're all agents and we need to have the pizza, but come around the back and we'll be watching for you." And he said, "Now, you got it? Are you, you know, you'll be here soon?" And the guy says, "No, I don't think so. Goodbye." Hung up. Now, that kind of a conversation, one person saying a truth and the other person hearing the truth, but there's no connection. That story was on a website that said, "Is this how Mary and the angel were having a conversation?" The angel saying, "You're going to have a child." And she's going, "What? How can this be? This is impossible." And the conversation going back and forth, believing, and yet it's impossible. It can't be true. And so just, except Mary didn't say, "It can't happen," and hang up. Mary said, "Let it be according to your will." And a different kind of a response. How many times have you said, it's impossible? It's impossible. It's only a week until Christmas, and how much stuff do you have to do before that day happens? It's impossible. You'll never get it done. The whole family in one room at the same time, it's impossible. First, I lost my billfold. Then, my driver's license expired. Then I get called for jury duty. All at the same time, all these things happening, it's impossible. I'll never be able to get through it. It's impossible. We say that so often. And if you've ever said that or felt that, don't think that you're alone. Abraham and Sarah said it's impossible when they found out in their old age that they were going to have a baby. The people of Israel said it's impossible when they stood on the shore of the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army is breathing down their neck. It's impossible. That's what the people said when they looked at David facing Goliath on the battlefield. It's impossible. It will never happen. Not a chance. Not in my lifetime. How many times have you said that? You've said it when the credit card bill comes and then you look at your checkbook. Impossible. Or you're so busy at work and you realize that it's been over a week that you've had a meal with your family. Impossible. The Bible says, love your neighbor. But the Bible didn't know your neighbor. With that yippy dog that goes all day and all night. But those aren't the really impossible things. The really impossible things are the depression and the grief that won't go away. The seeking love that can't be found. The resentment that colors every day. Those are the tough ones. It's impossible. Mary said it's impossible too. Our gospel tells that. How can this be? She said. It's impossible. But the impossibility is not the main part of this story. The main part, the significance for you and I, goes beyond that announcement of how impossible it is that a virgin would have a baby. It's what happens next. When the impossibility hits, when the impossible thing has impacted our lives, has broken our hearts, has shattered our dreams, then comes the message. Nothing will be impossible for God. What good news that is. Nothing is impossible for God. And that news was not just for Mary. It's for us today. Nothing is impossible for God. When we are faced with the impossibilities in our own lives, God's word breaks in and we hear that good news. Nothing is impossible for God. Now it takes a listening heart, a believing spirit to hear those words, to trust in that promise. Mary trusted in that promise. Her listening, believing heart led her to say, let it be according to your word. The angel started his message to Mary, telling her that she was a favored one, that God was with her. And like Mary, we know that God is with us. We stand under God's favor as well. Like Mary, we can trust in this promise that it's not just the impossibilities of our life today. It's also the impossibility of eternal life, that God's promise comes through for us. God's promises are sure. God can be trusted that that word would be fulfilled. God's promises are always fulfilled. We can trust in that. We can trust in the truth that nothing is impossible for God. although Christmas is just a week away, that Christmas celebration with Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus happened so long ago. We as 21st century Christians seem so distant from that first Christmas. And yet that ancient truth that broke into the world in the incarnation of God's Son is the truth that continues to break into our world today, into our heart. The heart of Christmas is indeed in receiving. Not only receiving the gifts that we wrap and unwrap, those gifts that we exchange with our children and our family and our friends, those presents that we put under the tree. Receiving those are important, but it's the receiving of the gifts that God wants to give to us in Christ that is the true heart of Christmas. Others might call it impossible. A virgin giving birth to a baby, and that baby, the Son of God, that child with a promise to us that nothing is impossible with God. Our believing heart, our believing spirit is open to receive the fullness of God's promise. May that be our prayer this week, when it seems like there are so many things that are just impossible in our week. Pray those words from Luke's Gospel. Nothing is impossible with God.